This morning again, we bring to you grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, His beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who has gathered us together in worship this morning. One of the major concerns of any established business is the question regarding longevity. The question is always, if we invest in this business, what is it that guarantees sustainability? And in the attempts to address this concern, they have to constantly be looking at things like the social impact that the business is going to have. They look at stuff like the focus strategy of the business, economic viability, their capacity to deliver what they're selling, their ability to adopt new ideas. All these things they look at. So every time we see the sign going out of business, it is most likely that there were some level of deficiency in one or more of these areas. As I thought about this, it dawned on me that God had been in business with humanity for a very long time now. And so I began to think about how He is doing it. Not only how He is doing it, but also how He is able to trust this business in the hands of imperfect human beings, and yet is able to stay in business all these years. Just for the record, may I inform you that God is the oldest businessman on the earth, with the oldest business that has ever existed. For it has been estimated biblically that He started his business in about 404 BC, where it is written in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was at that beginning that God started His business on earth. So just like any other business, He has had many moments of despair, but has never once went out of business. And so in investigating this, I found out that there is a single attribute that God uses that keeps His business thriving no matter how many oppositions He has faced. The single application is what I want to talk about this morning, as with the help of the Holy Spirit, my comforter and friend, I would like to speak to you under the theme, a love that binds. A love that binds. This topic, I think, is important because it is so important that we understand the nature of God's love. The reason why this is so important is because we get trapped into our own definitions of what love is. And sometimes it's based on our personal experiences. And some examples of that is because of the broken relationships that we've had, or the job we once loved that we don't love anymore, or the man or woman who was once the love of our lives, or that friend or family member whose name is something we no longer want to hear. And so we equate the love of God to the experiences we've had in this life. The business we started and we love so dearly, now the business falls apart and it is no longer in existence. All these things, we look at those things and we equate the love of God to those things. And of these relationships, we see that they are all man-made relationships and they spring out of man-made love. The kinds of love that are very highly conditional are the love that these things that I just named are attributed to. But may I submit to you today that God's love is not conditional. An everlasting love is what it is. A love that lives for us. A love that lives with us. A love that died for us. And a love that will live with us in eternity is the love we're talking about. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13, that now abides faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The question is, why is it that faith and love, and hope are not as great as love? The reason why faith and hope is not as great as this love that the Bible is talking about is because at some point in our lives, faith and hope will not be needed any longer. We need faith because we live in a world that is tangible. We need hope because we are hoping in something to come in the future. But after we have been with God, or we reside with God in heaven, there will be no need for faith. There will be no need for hope. But the love of God is going to abide forever and ever. So in our gospel text for today, Jesus is concerned about the continuity of what he has started with the 12. As he is leaving them and is giving them the secret to success, longevity, as well as eternity. It reads in John 13, verse 34, "A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another." So speaking about the love of God this morning, there are three quick things that I would like to point out. The first thing we want to look at as we talk about this love is the covenant. The covenant. In Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, it reads, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." Now we see this, it talks about the love of God as an everlasting love, an everlasting eternal covenant that God has established with us, just as we talk about 1 Corinthians 13, verse 13. That this love that God brings to us, it is not a love that endures for a moment. It is a love that lasts for eternity. God's eternal plan for his relationship is seen in our second reading this morning in Revelation 21, verses 1 through 7. And it talks about things like this. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." So God has in his mind this whole plan of coming up with a new heaven and a new earth. That someday we will not be living in this atmosphere. Someday we are going to be taken away from this planet, from this place, and God is going to create something new. A place where there will be no more sorrow and pains and sickness and sufferings. He says, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people." And that's the hope that we have. That someday there will be no more reasons to be looking up to another candidate who is going to take over as president over the nation. Because Jesus Christ is going to be residing as King of Kings and Lord of Lords over our universe. And it is what the church hopes in and wait for. He is the one that never makes promises and don't deliver. He is the God who delivers when he makes promises. He is the God who is steadfast and faithful in all his ways. It is what we are waiting for. So this is the Jesus, the King that we are waiting for. And this is what this text is talking about. He says he will wipe away tears from their eyes. No more death. No more death, my friends. And these are the things that we hope in as we wait and look and abide in the love that God brings to us. Let's remind ourselves that we are in an everlasting love covenant with God. And let us quit treating it like the one of our passing relationships. Because it is not. God has come to dwell with us. And he comes to bring to us eternity. It is not something that lasts just for a moment. It is not something that ends when we walk away from God and get angry over a particular situation. His love abides forever, and God remains constant forever. His name never changes. And this attribute about God is never going to change one moment because of the way we feel about a particular situation at a particular time. God remains the same forever, and His love abides forever. And this is the love that He brings to us. Friends, this is the love that binds. This is the kind of love that binds, and it's the love that God brings to you and I. We don't only want to talk about the covenant in this love, but let's talk about the comparison in this love. Look in John 13, verse 34. That's one of the reading from the gospel this morning. A new command I give you, he says, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. The love of Christ is a pure love. Pure love in the sense that this love does not stand in front of you and shake your hands and stand behind you and stab you. It is pure. It is pure when it stands in front of you. It is pure when it stands behind you. God's love is a love that is pure for all eternity. It is not only a love that is pure, but it is a love that is faithful. God is faithful in His love, my friends. His love is a love that is faithful. The Bible says that morning by morning, new mercies He brings. Great is His faithfulness. God rises up every morning when we get up from bed. There is the faithfulness of God, waiting to begin our day, because He's faithful in all His ways. And because we don't feel good at a given time, and because other people might disappoint us in life, and other relationships have fallen apart in life, we must always understand that the God that has come to us is a God who is faithful. No matter what we are going through, He promises to never leave us nor forsake us. He promises to be with us even to the very end of time. This is the God that we serve. This comparison shows just how intimate this relationship is between our Lord and us. We can love like Him because He abides in us. It is the reason why we have this. The love that comes from us is not a love that we generate on our own. The reason we love people like we do, the reason the church extends her hands out there and loves everybody, is because of that love that has poured down from heaven into our hearts. It is that love that gives us the energy to do the things that we do. Friends, this is the love that binds. It is the love that keeps the church going on and on and on. And God says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He did not say that the gates of hell will not try, but He says the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And as a matter of fact, this is the reason why Holy Nativity Lutheran Church keeps going on and on and on and on and on. People come, people go, but the church remains. It's because this church does not belong to a particular person. This church belongs to our Lord and risen Savior, and His name is Jesus. And as long as the church belongs to Him, my friends, listen, the church will abide forever. The church will remain until He comes back. The next point, which is our last point this morning, is the connection. The scripture says in John 13:34, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This text shows us that when we abide in the love of God, there is a series of events happening at the same time when we abide in the love of God. The first is that the church is connected to Christ. Abiding in God and being connected, as the scripture is saying, that we need to love one another as Christ has loved us, it tells us that we are connected to Jesus Christ. This carries the idea of John chapter 15, where Jesus Christ says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And if you abide in me, you will bear much fruit. And this we are talking about. The love that we show our friends is not a love that we have. It's the love that God has placed inside of us. And the reason why we have that love is because we are connected to this vine that is producing this love and is bringing this love into us who are the branches, and we are going out into the world, and all the world can see is the love that is coming from us. I have never seen a branch on the, on an apple tree that says, you know what, this year I'm going to bear some peppers. I'm not bearing apple this year, even though I'm connected to this vine. You've never seen that. You never, and we will never see that. And this is exactly why Jesus gives this illustration. The reason, because those who are connected to him, those who are connected to this vine, will continue to produce the kind of fruit that the vine places inside of them. And this is why we bring out this love continuously. He's saying love one another. This is the new commandment that has been given to us. That's the first thing that is happening here in this text. Second thing is the body is connected to one another. Not just that we're connected to Christ, but the body is connected to one another. This is the reason why we need to love one another, as it is stated in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In 1 Corinthians 12, it describes the church as the body of Christ, and that every part is very particular and important. And you know, all of us are in church this morning, and you came with your whole body. And no one in here is missing an arm or a leg. All right? So somebody walks up to you and asks you, where is your arm? So, you know, this morning I tried waking it up, and they said no. And I tried hard, didn't get up. So we left it, and we came to church. You don't see that. But the whole body comes to church because the body is connected to one another, and the body takes care of one another. And it's exactly the same kind of picture that we get here when he says, love one another. If we are the body of Christ, and if we belong to God, then it means, friends, that there is nothing else we can do but to love one another. And that love brings about concern. The love brings about compassion. This love causes us to pray for one another, care for one another. You know, it is what God has called us to. The last part in under this that is happening at the same time is the world gets drawn into this love. The world out there is going to get drawn into this love as the church continues to remain connected to this vine, Jesus Christ. As the church continues to be connected to one another, loving one another, the church is going to look from outside, look within, and ask this question, what manner of love is that? And want to be connected to this love. And this is why it is so important that the church as a body unites and be one, because of this very reason. The reason why is because we are in this world to carry out the gospel to the world and show the world that we have Jesus living inside of us. And the only way they're going to know that is by us loving one another. Friends, this is the love that binds. The last verse of the hymn, Blessed Assurance, says, perfect submission, all is at rest. I, in my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness. Now look at that last phrase, lost in his love. Friends, this morning is the question to you. As we talk about a love that binds, are you lost in his love? Because the one that is connected to this vine is always lost in his love. That when people come against you, the only thing they can get out of you is the love of God. When the devil come at you, the only thing he can get out of you is the love of God. When we become depressed or confused about life situation, the only thing that we can produce should be the love of God. Because the love of God, my friends, is a love that is stronger than anything that we have ever faced in this life. The love of God binds. It binds the church together, and it brings more people in to become part of this glorious body that God himself has instituted. My prayer to all of us this morning is that as we have received these words from God, the words of God would encourage our hearts and keep us steadfast in our faith, knowing that the love that we share, the love that we have, is not a love that we produce, but it's a love that comes from heaven flowing into our hearts. And that love keeps us steadfast no matter what the circumstance is that we are going through at a given time. We know that the love of God abides forever. I pray that these words from God this morning encourage your heart and keep you steadfast in your faith. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.